Let me see what you can do.
Hot topics and interviews.
And that's just how we do it.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.
Entertainment Man Podcast is brought to you by Crispy on the Web. Go to crispyontheweb.com for more information, social media, and much, much more.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Crispy on the Web Podcast. Welcome to the 236th episode of the podcast. I have to think about that for a second because there's too many episodes that I've done over the years. Today, I have Rena on the podcast. How's it going, Rena?
It is going awesome. How are you, Chris?
Good. I'm going to go get my locks trimmed after because I got so much hair on my head now. I'm going to have to go for a haircut. Then I got a busy afternoon working on the other podcast. I'm got a discovery call with Greg at 2:15 now. We've pushed it up, so I'm excited for that one too. So busy.
Yeah, Gregory Proctor was a past guest of mine, and he is a podcaster too, and he is going through multiple myeloma, which is quite a challenge, and he wrote a book about it, so I'm gonna have him back on also.
Awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
A little bit about myself. I am a mom of 4 kids, 15 and under. So that's a big thing about who I am. I got my start in the talk show industry career-wise. Started at the Jerry Springer Show, and I was there during my formative years, so that was an exciting time. And then from there, I ventured out to LA and worked in reality TV, kind of at the forefront of that. And it was a great place to be in my 20s, and I still kind of wonder what would it be like to have continued that chapter a little bit longer. Then I met my husband online, when that I feel like was extremely popular of a thing about 17, 18 years ago, and got married in under a year, moved to the Bay Area, popped out 3 kids in 4 years, knocked out that chapter. Then I joined corporate America for a bit, and I've been doing the entrepreneur thing for about the past 5 years, doing a variety of things from helping people produce their podcasts to helping people with their live events to video production, and then creating a show of my own with my dad, Better Call Daddy.
And let's talk about that. Can you talk about your podcast? Better Call Daddy.
Better Call Daddy. Well, my dad is always who I call. He's my biggest supporter and cheerleader and number one fan. And I felt like he was giving me pretty good advice all these years. So I felt like I wanted to share some of his wisdom with the world. What's interesting is we have upped our wisdom rating by having people on the show. We thought it was going to be sharing his wisdom, but the more people that we have on, we are learning a lot together. And I was even talking to him last night, which no surprise, but and saying like the way that he's able to synthesize all of these stories that we've had on and what he gleams from each one. I was like, Dad, I am impressed. It's not easy to do that. Mm-hmm. And he loves it. He looks forward to it now. He was like, do you have another one for me to listen to? You know, it's how we bond. Instead of reading the same book, we're listening to the same guest and we're comparing notes and we're comparing insights. And it's been really enriching.
It is, for sure. And I have family that listen to this podcast quite a lot. My aunts, I did one about my autism. They loved that one. And, you know, like my dad, who's now almost going to be 80, will be 80 next year, who actually just went through some health issues recently. But I mean, he listens to it. And I don't know that. I never knew that he listens to it. I was like, okay, he listens to it. But where is it on iTunes? Is it on app? Like, who knows? But that's the one thing with podcasts, especially if you're the only place you would know, I think, that someone is listening to your podcast would be YouTube, probably, because they will be able to leave a comment or something. But I mean, on audio only. Only way you can do it is, I guess, by a what do they call that? A review. So,
or I, you know, that's another thing. Like, part of how I honestly even measure the success of my show, and I don't think you can even measure it in downloads anymore because so many people are like buying the fake downloads and listens, is when people DM me or when people leave me a review. Like, it is so important to leave podcasters reviews. Please leave Chris a review on this episode and tell him what you liked or what you would have liked him to ask. Podcasters are constantly like needing that. I mean, I've seen podcasters, Kurt Sasso, he posted on Twitter that he's done, you know, close to 1,200 interviews, and he's been doing this for as long as Joe Rogan. And he's like, please, somebody roast me. Please, somebody tell me how like I could make this better. We're all like screaming into the void here, you know? But I do measure my success on how many people are like letting letting me know in my DMs, hey, I have a guest for you, or hey, I love that episode, or hey, I didn't like that episode, right? Like, we're looking for that.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't had any negativity, so that's a good thing. No negativity, that's a good thing normally. But I don't think I've had anyone say, hey, Chris, maybe you should try this or something, or try that. I think people are just pretty content with the way I do the show every week. Well, sometimes every 2 weeks.
The craziest, I had somebody create a fake email because they didn't want, you know, me, I guess, to find out who they were in regards to a guest that I had on. This was pretty crazy. I was like, damn, I want to have you on for even doing that. But I had on this guy from Australia, and he was a sperm donor at the time, I think, to like 23 kids or something. Mm-hmm. And one of the couples that it didn't work out with, he was like, that guy's a narcissist, you know, that guy's not doing it out of the goodness of his heart, you know. And I was like, oh my god, I really want your opinion. But yeah, they created a fake email and they like told me their whole side of the story, and I like reached out to him a couple times and they just kind of faded off. But I was like, that was a really big effort to like message me about that.
Yeah, it is. That's crazy. Oh boy. Yeah, that's some people, right? Those are the naysayers, I call them now, pretty much.
I am curious, like, how did you find out your dad was listening? And then did you want to like encourage him to listen more? Tell me about your relationship there.
Oh, my dad and I always go to events together. Like, that's the other side of, outside of podcasting, is actually I go to local events. I go to Toronto with him. So we do a lot together. We go to the Halton Radio Museum a little bit. We do a lot of stuff together. And I was talking about the podcast to my dad. He said, yeah, I listened to it. Like, I'm like, you listen to it? Well, because I'm actually still with my parents, actually. I still live with them. Actually, my studio's in the basement. But he told me, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, really? I didn't know that. Again, I do not know who listens to the podcast. It's hard, especially on the audio only side. But I mean, it's great. That's great to have family. I'm sure my cousins down in Minneapolis, they probably listen to it too. And I just don't know it. So it's pretty awesome.
Have you ever wanted to interview a family member, or have you interviewed family members?
Not yet. No, I should actually, I should get my dad on to talk about air traffic controller. That might be interesting. Yeah.
That would be.
Because he was an air traffic controller. Not like international, like, you know, from Toronto to, let's say, I don't know, England or something, for example. Not like that. It's just like commercial, like the little airplanes, like the Cessnas and all that. That's what he did. So
that's very cool. I've been in one Cessna. I was scared to death. It was when we went to Jamaica for spring break on the Jerry Springer show. It was the craziest. I swear to God, the pilot was smoking dope and flying the plane.
Yeesh.
And it was so bumpy, and I do not like turbulence. I don't feel safe with that.
Me either.
I mean, some people are like, you know, they take Cessnas all the time, or, you know, they want to learn how to fly. I am afraid of heights. I am afraid of bumps, and I will never forget that ride. I'm very glad that we landed safely.
Yeah, I don't like the turbulence either, because in 2018, for the first time in 25 years, I flew an airplane, an actual jet. I flew on a jet for the first time in 25 years. I was scared to death. Like, oh, we're going to crash. Gosh, all the worst things in the whole world to think about. I was thinking about that the whole time. But it was great, though. But we were right behind, in front of the engine. So, because the engines were on the body, not on the wings. It was, what were they? 717s. Boeing 717s. They don't use them as much anymore now, but we had one of those. But it was loud, but I mean, still, it was really cool. And I flew last year too, because I was out to Quebec City for my late grandma, to put my late grandma in her final resting place there. So,
aww.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of off last year a lot too, because I wasn't saying much on Twitter or AKAX, you know. It's because of that. I was kind of taking time off, and Kelsey wasn't even around yet, so, you know, she didn't come into August, I think. It's well over 6 months now, I think, with her, which is amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, talk about that.
So, yeah, Kelsey, I just met her through former acquaintance of mine, Jim, he's actually also on the team again. He's like an advisor for my website and all that. So, he does like the website stuff. He like helps me with the website. We're going to be adding TikTok to the list on the website, actually, later this morning or this afternoon. Kelsey met me through him. So, he introduced her to me. So
should we do some TikTok dance moves together for the new
TikTok
edition?
Yeah, I'll be posting out some clips on TikTok there too, so that'd be great to promote this whole podcast together too. But yeah, it was through her brother, so pretty neat. I got to meet everybody. Acquaintances. I can't even say the word today.
That's awesome. Yeah, right before this, I was actually on with Namecheap about a year ago. I won a contest where I love Namecheap. They do website makeovers mm-hmm. for aspiring entrepreneurs and podcasters, and they loved like the name and theme of my podcast, Better Call Daddy, and they totally like revamped my website and just made it a lot cleaner, a lot more succinct, a lot more functionable. Like I wanted to have a blog section and a episode section and then a feature section where other podcasters who have had me on, like you now, mm-hmm. that I can put, you know, other shows and, you know, a sponsor page and just I needed some help. I didn't know how to build all of that out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so they helped me pick the best images, and I got to meet with their copywriting team and their web design team. And it was such a pleasurable experience that I ended up reading like a host read ad to kind of like thank them. And then they made me an affiliate. And so today they're like now helping me with my company's page to like match my podcast page, which is so generous of them. And they picked 4 more winners. I can't like say who they are, but they're all different genres, you know, and mm-hmm. and I think, and they're just people from different countries and places and businesses. And I'm like, oh, that is such a really cool idea to show, you know, other podcasters, other businesses, you know, your interests and how you make people mm-hmm. over and how you, you know, take underdogs and make them look so much better. And so I was just like, hey, you know, if you want me to pass the crown from the last year winner to the 4 you picked from this year, or if I can give you guys another host read ad, or if we can further partner, like I would love to still work with your brand because I love what you do and I loved working with you. And I think podcasters should look for those kinds of opportunities, even with like mm-hmm. brands that they love. Like my kids loved like these hippie like organic snacks, and I was constantly like buying those for them. So I started like taking pictures of my kids eating hippies, and then I reached out to hippies and was like, hey, I'm working on this event, would you guys like to like send us some snacks, and I'll shoot like behind the scenes of everybody eating them, you know? Like a lot of brands are looking for ways to create other social media aspects. So a lot of times if there's things that you already love and you're already buying and you know, using, there might be opportunity to co-promote.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to look into that. I should look into, I had one opportunity, but it didn't fall through because of my medication for my disability. They wanted me to try this, what was it, like a herbal remnants or something? And they I don't think it's going to be good enough, and I'm going through like medication changes and all that. But you have to be careful too when you're looking for, especially if brands or sponsorships comes to you to say, hey, we like to sponsor you and all that. You have to really, really be careful though, right? It's just, you got to do your research on that. That's a big important step.
That's a really good point, because I did have some like mushroom supplement company reach out. And I'm like, is this regulated? Should I ask a doctor about this? You know, what mm-hmm. if, what if you're nursing? What if you're taking other medication? Yes, that is a good point. And I have to say too, like there was this other supplement company, and you know, I'm just very trusting. So I tried some of these supplements with other vitamins that I was taking, and I didn't eat food with it, and I literally barfed like about 5 times.
Jeez.
So I was like, okay, like you really have to read the fine print, and you have to eat the stuff with food, and you might want to ask a doctor if you're like taking other things. Like, yeah. You don't want to OD on this stuff.
No, you don't. Definitely not. That's why I asked another fellow podcast friend. I asked him, I send him a voice message. I like doing the voice messages. I should do that with a lot of you guys now. I like doing that. I don't even know how to do it off of Twitter. I'll have to try it out one day. But I asked him, and he sent me a like all these different questions and like how much and at the end he's like, Chris, be careful, just do your research and just be really, really careful who you have for your sponsorship. So it's really important to do your research.
Yeah, 100%. And that even applies to who you have on your show, because
that's the reason why I said that. That's the reason why that.
Yeah, I mean, especially with politics today. Look, I'm all for interviewing people that have different political views. However, if you're saying hateful things online, and, you know, I kind of want to know that.
Yeah. I had a comedian once, and we booked the interview, did the interview, fine. Everything went great. I was excited to be premiering it. And I find one of my listeners that he's making fun of people with autism on YouTube. I was livid pissed. And I'm like, nope. And this was after I premiered it. He waited to I found this out.
Oh.
And you know what's worse? It was the last episode of the season for the year in 2022, I believe. So that really, really peed me off so bad. Like, yeah, way to screw me over in the last episode of the year. Like, I was not happy. I had the episode, but it's like in the scrap folder now because of that. Because I'm not going to put up with that. So, but like, really, that was really disheartening to have a podcast I worked hard on to have it scrapped because of someone's actions, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm sorry you went through that. That is not cool. And talk about what else goes to the scrapped folder, because I have ones too that haven't aired.
let me pull up.
You're going to pull up the scrap folder? I can just tell you that, unfortunately, sometimes when you ask people questions, like, they literally don't answer them.
Yeah.
And I had one episode where I swear to God, it wasn't just like one question. It was like every question. And then like my dad listened to it and he was like, I don't even know how to respond to that. I was like, oh no. So I just, and it's hard too, because then do you tell the person, like, if they're not going to be aired, can you just be like, hey, I really enjoyed the conversation and I'm so glad that we're connected, but it didn't make the cut? Or do you just not tell them and hope that they're, you know, going to think that like you just have so much content to get out? I've done that too.
I've never told them. I just said, you know what? Screw it. I asked my friend Jimmy, big shout out to him. He's a big supporter of this podcast and all that. I appreciate his support too. But I said to him, I said, should I tell him that I'm pulling it? Like, no. Don't tell them, just pull it. And okay, pulled. There's the other one. There's only two that I've ever scrapped. That was that interview. Three, actually. It was the interview, the special announcement episode. I don't know what the heck it was. That was from 2022. And then the truth about the video project team, which I may actually release the truth about the video project team in a couple of weeks. Just post it anyway. I'm going to listen back to it. See if I can edit out some of the bad stuff. Still post it up as a audio only. I might do that. But the only three I've gotten that got cut from the list.
I had like one guy who, when I interviewed him, his son was missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time it was like edited and I was ready to air it, he had turned up dead and he didn't want me to air it. And so I respected that. But yeah. I did say, hey, like, you know, I've interviewed you, your wife, your daughter. I've edited these. Like, this is like a special time in your life. Like, let's just put it on the back burner. I was always hoping that he would come around. So I still have it, but like I didn't air it out of respect for him.
Yeah.
And then there was another guy who was a twin and they both kind of struggled with like weight. And one twin was like super into fitness and like was able to keep it under control. But then he like kind of resented the brother for not doing that. And I think he was concerned about sharing that about his brother, but that was like the best part of his story. And then he was like, can you edit that whole part out about my brother? I was like, you know, maybe we just shouldn't air it, because cutting out like half the story kind of like changes the whole vibe.
Yeah, exactly. It does. And a good thing, like, even especially if you're doing like video like we are, because we're obviously going to be this will be up on YouTube as well. And thank you guys so much for the 56 subscribers. That's awesome.
I'm one of those.
Oh, thank you then. I was wondering, like, 56? I went from 54, I went to 54, 55, 54, 55, 56. But I mean, like, with YouTube, you're going to have to go look for the whole clip, and then you're going to have to edit that out and edit around. Like, you have to edit around it on YouTube. It's just like, I know what you mean. You have to completely, especially on YouTube, you have to edit it around. And it's like, then you got to put transitions. You got to do, like, it's just a lot of work, you know?
It is. And I've had multiple guests after it airs, like, feel like they may have overshared. And look, I'm not trying to ruin anybody's life, but like, if it aired 6 weeks ago, like, the majority of the listens happened already. And like, I have a hard time wanting to go back and like take stuff down and re-edit and re-put it back up that far after. So my advice to people that are going on to podcasts, like, you really need to self-edit, and you kind of need to know what you're good with saying and what you're not going to talk about.
Yeah, I'm very, very careful with what I ask. I try not to go personal, you know?
But I like to go personal, but I also like guests who are good being unfiltered.
Like,
but
me.
I also say, look, if you haven't healed yet, like, don't sign up for this. Like,
exactly. I'm very unfiltered. The episode I did that went up yesterday, actually, was really fantastic. It's done really well. I think over 16 views already on YouTube alone.
That's awesome. Yeah, I listened to that one.
Yeah.
It was very vulnerable.
Yeah, he's coming back in June. But, I mean, yeah, Shane will be coming back in June. I think we're going to continue on with the talk about that. So we're going to do that maybe once or twice a year. So that'd be cool. But, I mean, I love being vulnerable. I love being authentic. That's the whole premise of my whole podcast, is to be raw, authentic, genuine, the real me, not the fake me like I was with the other team that I once had. I was very, very fake. I was a big mouth. Because I used to swear all the time on the videos. And my old channel still exists. It's ridiculous. I wish YouTube would take it down at this point.
Oh, wow. I'm sure you could, though, right?
I don't have access to it anymore.
Oh, okay.
So I've been reporting it, and it didn't work. I've been reporting myself. I was like, this is inappropriate or something. I try to report myself. It doesn't work. So I tried. I really, really tried.
Okay, that's actually hysterical. I've never heard anyone report themselves.
Yeah. Well, at least I couldn't, if I was under the Director 015 channel, I couldn't report myself. But I have my Chris CBLTW channel, my other channel. I do like regular streams on weekends, but I use that one. I report it and nothing.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
How often does your podcast go up?
So in the beginning, I was releasing 3 episodes a week, like a mad woman. And then when I realized that I want to properly market each guest and spend more time doing that and also take clients, I cut it back to 2 a week. And now I am down to 1 a week, but I am consistently releasing 1 a week. And sometimes if I have like a special episode, like I recently went to a live oil and gas conference here in Houston, and I got to participate in their media booth and do some live interviews, I felt like that was timely. And even though I have a huge backlog, I wanted to get that out like right after the event. So I aired that one. And then I also just recently released an episode with a lady who is 99, and her 100-year-old birthday is coming up in June. So I wanted to make sure that I got it out before her birthday so I could still say she was 99, even though it is like a century of wisdom. And also it was Women's History Month. So I wanted to release it alongside that because I'm like, this lady is like living history.
Definitely. My grandma, who passed away last year, 98.
Wow. Wow.
That's pretty incredible to be living to your 98. I'd like to actually outlive her if I could. I would love to get out to 98. I would.
Amen. But I love that. Yeah. Did she listen to your podcast?
No, she never had anything to do with technology. Well, she was born in 1925, so she never grew into the technology stuff. So
I put a pair of Apple earbuds on my grandmother, I think at 93 years old, and I just had her tell me her story, and I recorded it over Zoom. And then when my dad was like cleaning out some of his dad stuff in his old factory, he found a cassette tape that my grandpa had like recorded a conversation where he was getting ready to fire someone. And so I converted that cassette to an MP3, and I did like a joint episode of like interviewing my grandmother. And then, you know, I explained that we found this tape, and then I put my grandfather at the end of it. And then I had my dad respond to it. So I have like a triple Friedman generation episode where it's me, my dad, and both of his parents.
You have to send me the it's on your feed, right? Is it?
I'll send it to you. Yeah, it is.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I forgot which number it is, but my dad loves to share that one. And it's so cool with technology now that you can like literally take a cassette tape and have that digitized. Mm. And even before, you know, I had like one of those mini DV cameras that shot to tape. I think everything's like shot to disc now, but I have tapes of my grandfather that like I need to digitize. Like that stuff would be so cool now to like do a mashup of.
It would be. It would be. We have somewhere here in the house, we have a tape of my grandpa on my dad's side, my dad's dad, when Nixon resigned. Sorry, I'm getting political. When Nixon resigned, saying, I'm not a crook. And my grandpa's like, yeah, you were a crook. And all you hear is my grandmother saying, shut up. The kid from the kitchen.
Oh my God, that is classic. See, that would totally go viral.
Yeah,
like, that's
would.
Like a TikTok reel right there.
Oh, it would. My parents would kill me for doing that, probably.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, like VHS stuff from like growing up. I mean, that's actually something that I like to talk about though, is like, I'm so glad a lot of my shenanigans were pre-digital age. Like I worked for Jerry Springer. Like that whole chapter was like right when the internet was starting to happen. So most of my teen years and early 20s were not online.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Can you talk about your experiences being on Jerry Springer show, being part of it. So, I mean,
it's crazy. So I worked for an NPR station in college where I used to read the news and the weather, and I wanted to work in radio. And I drove up to Chicago for an interview at WGN and I didn't get it. And so while I was up there, I saw that Jerry Springer was looking for interns in the same courtyard. It was literally NBC was right across from WGN. And I took down a flyer and I walked across to NBC Tower and I called the number on there and got myself through security, and I ended up starting as an intern 2 weeks later. So I was right around graduation time, and that was my first job out of college. So it was quite a learning experience.
It is. I've been on a set of the reality TV show Big Brother Canada. I actually went to the audience several times too. It's interesting. It's different. Like being there in person is different than watching it actually on the television. It is. It's a complete different experience. Do you agree with that?
Oh, wow. That's really cool that you did that. I didn't even realize that there was a live audience for that.
There is, yeah. For both the U.S. and Canada, there is a live audience every week on Wednesdays.
Oh, that's really cool. So yeah, there was a live audience for every one of our shows. And sometimes that actually made the guests very nervous. And that's why we brought them to the show like 6 hours prior, so that we could kind of role play with them prior to going out there, because you need to kind of know like who's coming out first, who's coming out second, who's coming out third, like what they're going to be saying to you. You need to kind of be prepared for that, because once the crowd starts yelling and screaming and booing and flashing you and all of this stuff that happens in the audience of Jerry Springer, you need to be able to focus on kind of like why you called the show in the first place.
Exactly. Especially then when they're yelling Jerry at some point when they're trying to break up the fights. I've seen a couple clips it was a really popular show too. I was talking to my mom about like having you on and all that, and she thought that was really cool. But I was saying to my mom, like, Jerry Springer show was really, really popular. I don't know how many years it was on, like 20, 30 years, maybe?
Close to 30. I think it was 27. He was one of the longest running hosts ever.
It's incredible. A lot of the talk show hosts now have retired, like Oprah, you have Dr. Phil. That's another one. Maury.
Jenny Jones was actually in the studio right next to us. I don't know if that was before your time, but
I never heard of her though. That's cool.
There you go. And then there was like Ricky Lake. I mean, Montel Williams.
There was another one that she was female. What was her name?
Wendy Williams.
Short hair. Ellen. That's it. Ellen was another one. I think a couple of years ago, she retired from that too. She called it quits after that. That's amazing. Like, now, like a lot of these shows, that have been running so long, like, especially, not just talk shows, but, like, the, soap operas, like, Y&R, like, Young and the Restless, that might be going off air, too. It's just amazing to see, like, all these older shows that have been on for so long, you know, ending their run. Crazy. But it's amazing how many years they've done it, though.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised, too, like, how reality TV has just taken over, and, like, mm-hmm. TikTok culture has taken over, and my kids only watch YouTube. Like, they barely even watch Netflix.
Yeah.
It's just a totally new generation and a new way of entertaining ourselves. We have much shorter, I feel like, attention spans.
Yeah. What was it like interviewing Jerry Springer? Because I know you, I was doing research on your site, and you interviewed Jerry. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That was honestly, like, one of the most special interviews that I've done. And afterwards, I even said to myself, I was like, how am I going to top that? Like, that just made my whole podcasting journey worth it. But then too, it kind of, like, gives you some grace where you're like, well, now, like, anything that I do after is just, like, bonus. You know, you're like, that was like one of those dream guest situations where you're like, yeah, like, once I've achieved that, now, like, the pressure's off.
Exactly. Like, I find it even tougher now, like, the recent episode I did with Shane, like, how am I going to top that off with this episode? But I think this one might top that one off, and then I think I'm going to top off the next one and all that. It's hard too, you know?
Yeah, people always ask, they're like, what's your favorite episode? And to me, I feel like I'm constantly improving. Mm. So I feel like if you watch the evolution, like, they get better from interview to interview. And I think that really should be the goal.
Yeah.
Is your most recent episode should always be your best, because you should always be putting, like, more energy into improving.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. And I've been asked, what's your favorite episode you've done, Chris? I'm like, I can't answer that. I like them all. I like every single episode I've done. I know there's probably a couple, like, I wish I didn't do that one. But I mean, there's a lot of episodes I like, but I would be naming them forever, because I got, 236 episodes under the belt now. It's like, I like them all practically.
Yeah. And in the beginning too, I feel like I was kind of finding my rhythm. Like, do you do them for 30 minutes? Do you do them for 15 minutes? Do you do them for an hour? And I think too, that as a podcast host, you just kind of, like, get a vibe. Like, is this still interesting? Am I still enjoying this conversation, or should I wrap it up? So I don't even think there's, like, an ideal time necessarily. You know, people are going to listen to what they want to listen to. They're going to skip through it anyway, and they might listen to half of it, and that's enough.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I don't have an ideal time. Normally, like, I could say this. My topics, which I do when I don't do interviews, is, like, around 20 minutes to 30 minutes, which is fine, which is what I want. I don't want to be, like, rambling on for an hour about something, but sometimes I'll go over 30 minutes fine. If I get, like, really deep into the conversation about, like, a topic, then, yeah, that's fine if I go over 30 minutes. But, I mean, interviews typically are between 30 minutes to an hour. So that's kind of, like, my ballpark goal for all of them, and we've pretty well got we're getting to that, so that's good. But it's good to have goals too.
Yeah, and I do feel like a lot of podcasters have other creative endeavors. Like, usually if you're creative in one area, you have other creative interests. And so, you know, Bruce Chamoff, who I collaborated with, he was a musician and he is constantly putting out new songs, and I was like, hey, if you're ever looking for a backup artist. And so we collaborated on a song, and
Nice. Yeah,
I've had musicians on, and I'm like, hey, do you want to just spontaneously, like, burst into song or play your ukulele? And so there's been some, like, magic moments like that. I had Isolde Trachtenberg. She sang some opera, or, like, a song in Russian, I think it was, that her dad used to sing. So I think it's important when you're, you know, collaborating with other creatives, even just to be like, hey, like, what other creative projects are you into? Because you never know how their other talents may lead to another way in which you guys can connect or further collaborate.
Exactly. And that's what I love about this. And I've re-collaborated with John. I'm going to be re-collaborating with Bob Bob Lament is coming back on in a week or two. He'll be back on the podcast. Like, it's great to re-collaborate too with people I've collaborated before in the past too. So that's really, it's really awesome.
I want to give John a shout out because we recorded months ago and that's how long my backlog is, but I love his solo episodes, and actually his solo episodes inspire me to want to try that. I've never done a solo episode. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing solo episodes, I've had other people interview me, and then sometimes I'll take a really good interview that somebody did with me and I will create a custom intro and have my dad react to it. And then that's just another easy way to promote the person who's interviewed you on their show and just re-air that episode kind of repackaged on your RSS feed.
Yeah, which is awesome too. And actually what John and I did, we actually did a crossover. So he did one for his and I did one for mine, which was really awesome. So we both did one for each other's podcast. That was when I was going through the whole bullying thing with that one other podcast. And this, I swear to those listening, this is the last time I'm going to mention that podcast. I apologize. I've mentioned it way too much lately. But he saw I was upset. I was clearly upset and ready to call it quits and everything else because of them. They got me really upset. And he said, hey, come on my podcast, vent. And I did. And I said, I still need an episode for Sunday. He said, don't worry about it. I'll send you the file. And yeah. And so I put it on there. I had to re-edit it because he put the Larry routine in there. No offense to John, but I had to edit that out because I got copyright slapped on YouTube. So, but they didn't claim. I tried to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Lots of people have gotten YouTube slapped. I've heard lots of creators complaining about that.
Yeah. Oh, I got slapped with the Grand Theft Auto stuff on my other channel. So I like delete. I just deleted it in rage. I'm never going to do that game on that channel again. That's all I need.
Rage deleting. That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, we collaborated and I just kind of got rid of the audio. What's the word? I'm trying to find the right word. I said, hey, there is no music and all that. And they never, I kind of bounced back with the copyright and they never replied back whatsoever. So they actually removed the copyright strike. And I'd already deleted the audio part of it. Re-uploaded it to the RSS feed. Because you can do that on YouTube. So you can put RSS feed on YouTube too, which is really, really awesome to do that.
Yeah, there's so many ways to market your podcast. I feel like it could be honestly a full-time job just repurposing content.
It is. For sure. I find it, John's the one that got me into that, and I really appreciate it because ever since, my views have gone up. So that something, I did something right. So I'm really happy for that.
One thing that I would like to spend more time doing is creating like an individual blog post on my website for mm-hmm. every guest. But that does take time. And if you want to be thoughtful about it, and if you want to put up a new image and you want to put all of, you know, what was discussed and the key points, and even though AI can help you with that,
yeah,
nobody wants to read AI on every post. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like blog posts need to be more thoughtful than just an AI summary.
Yeah, I spend like a good half an hour sometimes on writing. Sometimes I'll just sit there. I'll sit here and I'll just like, I'll type a little bit and I'll sit back like this and kind of look at the screen and think what I want to say next, you know? And sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But I like doing it. I like to write it myself. I don't use AI for that whatsoever.
That's such a good practice. And I know you've been blogging since, what, 2014?
Yeah, the whole company's been around for almost 10 years now. This will be our 10th anniversary this year. So
congratulations. Thank you. That is dedication.
It is. We're going to get a banner built for the studio. We're going to hang that up somewhere because we're going to have a lot of big partying, and I got Justin, Larry, and myself are going to do a podcast here in the studio, so we're going to probably do it live. We're going to probably do it live, a live one on YouTube, so that's going to be very, very a lot of fun to do, but we're going to do one We're going to do two, actually. One, that's going to interview the three of us, talking about, you know, college, how we met, how we became friends, and whatnot. Then the other one's going to be pre-recorded for the 10th anniversary, and I'll be posting that up on the Thursday, the 14th of November. So that's the when we're going to be turning. So 10 years old. That's scary. Onward to 20. I've been in this industry for 19 years almost.
That's impressive, truly.
I started when I was 20.
Wow.
Yeah. It's now I'm 38. Getting up there.
Yeah, you're almost catching up with me.
Yeah. I'm not ready for 40, that's for sure. I'm not ready for 40.
Yeah, I took that birthday hard, but now I'm just like, you know, I have four kids and I'm happy. I have a loving husband. I have a lot to be grateful for. And like you said, it's funny, like every year I see my grandmother, she just turned 95. I'm like, can you believe I'm 44? She was like, can you believe I'm 95? You know, like,
yeah.
She's like, every year you get is a blessing. I'm like, yeah. That is so true. And I want to get to 98 too and then ask for more.
Yeah. I want to make 100 to say like, haha, grandma, I made it for the deal.
But yeah. I'm sure she would love that too.
Oh, she would. I know she hated when I said, oh, you're going to make 90. No, I'm not. I'm not going to make 90. She said she's not going to make 80. And she kept saying that for years and years and years when she was 65. And like the joke's on her, she made it 98. It was pneumonia that actually got her. Unfortunately, she had a bit of pneumonia that killed her at the end. But she was battling it for years and years on and off. So it's awful. It's an awful sickness to have.
Yeah. My grandma, too, is such a fighter. Like, she's had a heart attack, a stroke. Wow. She's fallen, got COVID, shingles, and she just wants to live.
Yeah.
She literally, like, that is amazing to me. Some people want to live. I'm like, I want your desire to want to live like that.
Yeah, exactly. My grandma has shingles, too. At one point, she had pneumonia. She fell in Las Vegas. She did something to her hip, or no. It was I forget which part, body part it was, but she hurt herself pretty bad. She was pretty battered up for that, but...
Oh, man.
Hey, she's a fighter. She was a fighter. So, gonna go visit her gravesite this year in May, so I'm gonna take a week or 5 days off just to go and spend some time with the family, so that'd be nice. So, I'm gonna make sure I don't do any interviews or anything that week. Just gonna make sure I'm away for that. But I really look forward to that, going away back to Quebec, because that's my background. It's French, Quebec French, so
and a little very bit cool.
And a little bit of Slovak in there too. So
that's so cool. Yeah, actually, when I interviewed my grandmother, mm-hmm. she was like talking about the importance of knowing where you come from,
mm-hmm.
and I think that I have a bit of a fascination with that. I think that it is really interesting to think about your roots and how you're raised and your upbringing and mm-hmm. how does that tie into who you are and what you've decided to hold on to or let go of and how has that influenced your life.
Yeah.
And I love getting personal with people about that subject.
And now I've actually learned some of the family history with like heart attacks, strokes, now mini strokes. That's what my dad had. But it's good that I know this information now, especially when I get old, because I am getting older. I ain't getting any younger whatsoever. So it's like, it's good to know your family history as well. So whether like there's heart attacks or there's been cancer in the family, like, you know, it really is important to know that. So
100%. Yeah. Although I am not good about getting checkups, I am like notorious for just waiting for something to happen and then hitting up the urgent care.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I hate.
Oh, man.
Every year I get stabbed in the right arm with my flu shot, and my doctor is not easy. Like, stab. Like, she stabbed me really hard, but my goodness. Can you talk about your company, Megawatts Production?
Yeah, Megawatts Productions is a play on my name because my last name is Watts. Yep. And yeah, I love helping people create their own shows from start to finish. So whether they have an idea or they already have a show that they've started and they kind of want to make it better, I can help you with scripting or coming up with seasons or just kind of talking out like all that's involved in production. And I love all aspects of that, from helping you find the right guests to getting you on other people's shows to thinking about brand partnerships. So that's Megawatts Productions.
How long have you been running Megawatts Productions, and what inspired it to start? What inspired you to start it?
So almost 5 years. And what inspired me to start it was kind of working behind the scenes of a couple of other influencers and helping them with their events and their coaching programs and their podcasts and growing their communities. And then I was like, wow, well, people are reaching out to me in my DMs and asking if I can help them. And yes, I can. So yeah, it was just like when people started reaching out and needing help and thinking that I could help them, I'm like, is this work that I want to do? Is this work that I can do? Who can I team up with to help people make those things happen? And so I started trying things and seeing what I liked doing and what I didn't like doing. And yeah, so I've taken a variety of projects.
That's good. And last thing, how long were you on the radio for, and what do you love about being on the radio?
Yeah, so I worked for a couple years in college reading the news and weather. And what I loved was just learning how to run things manually and kind of getting creative. And when I wasn't reading the news and weather, like, how could I write the stories better? How could I pick better stories? How could I learn to enunciate things better? How can I deliver it better? And I loved the medium of radio, and I still do. I actually sometimes even now rent studios and interview people live. And like I said, I was a part of that media booth at the oil and gas convention. And when I was in Chicago, I worked on a live healthcare podcast for a year where I worked with a host and helped him develop the script and pick the guests. And I supervised the camera crew and the audio and the edit and all of the components. I love production. I love helping people tell their story. And yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you like to talk about that we did not talk about today?
That's a great question. Well, I am glad that you shared part of your story about your dad, because I love, you know, inspirational fathers and daddy drama and collaborating with other daddy's girls. That's kind of the guests that I pick for my own show. So I love how you kind of weaved that in. You know, I talk to my dad pretty much every day. And the one component I will say that has shined through all of the stories is mental health really matters. So try to do little things every day that are healthy habits that can lead to good mental health. And then also encourage others. I think that that is the biggest thing. There's one guy that every day, Jacob Lethbridge, reaches out to three people every single day, and he leaves them a gratitude message. And literally a gratitude message can be 10 seconds long. And it's as simple as leaving somebody either a voice note or calling them on the phone and leaving them a voicemail, or sending somebody an email and be like, you know, every time we have an exchange, you make my day. It literally can be that simple. And so I guess what I would even want to leave you with and leave your audience with is, it's so easy to give somebody some encouragement. I want to say to you, wow, like the fact that you've been doing this for 19 years, that is freaking awesome.
Thank you. Keep going,
keep dreaming the dreams and keep taking action. And I hope that this is like one of your best episodes. And I hope that your next episode is even better than this. And I hope that we can further collaborate. And
for sure.
Yeah, everybody should leave you 5 stars and subscribe, because that is the easiest way to support somebody.
It's
free.
Exactly. I totally agree. Is there any website, social media that you would like to promote?
Thank you so much. Yeah, bettercalldaddy.com, megawattsproductions.com, and you can find me on most social at Rena Friedman Watts.
Yeah. And I think your Twitter is Rena Rena, I think it is?
Yes, at Rena Rena with two E's twice.
Yes. I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today, Rena, and definitely if you want to come back on ever, just to chit chat or just shoot the breeze or whatever, feel free to reach out. I'm always into having guests come back on and updating us on what you've been up to and all that. And yeah, let's collaborate down the road for sure.
Thank you so much, Chris. You're an amazing host. I really appreciated your high energy.
Thank you. If you're new to the podcast, please do subscribe wherever you are watching or listening, because obviously we're on YouTube as well. That is the best way to show your support, and smash that like button. The like buttons have been going crazy on YouTube. Thank you so much. And also, as always, you always can follow Crispy on the Web Media on Facebook, Twitter, aka X, Instagram, Threads, at Crispy on the Web. And I will see you guys next week for another episode of Entertainment Podcast. Until then, have a good one. Bye for now.
Entertainment Man Podcast is a weekly radio show produced by Crispy on the Web Media. All rights reserved. Any illegal reproduction of this content will result in immediate legal action. action.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week again for a fresh round.
It's the Entertainment Man Podcast.